The lights are on red. We're away.
Hello and welcome to another edition of MotoGPOD. Today is Thursday, July 19th, 2007, and this is episode number 87. We're doing it a day early today because I'm leaving here very shortly. I'm supposed to actually be packing and put my stuff in the truck right now, this minute. But I'm leaving to go to Laguna Seca here shortly. Going to do a road trip down there with some friends and meet up with their friends down there and just have a grand old time. So we're doing a real quick show. Before that, we're going to talk about what happened at the Sachsen Ring. We're going to have a little bit of a Laguna Seca preview, and we're going to do yet another Pepsi Challenge, just because it was the CBS coverage was so bad of Sachsen Ring, and it can't go unpunished. So we're going to have to do another one of those, and we're going to save that there for the end of the show. I think you'll like it, though. We have a little surprise in store for you. It's not exactly the same thing that we've done the previous last few times, and it's well worth a listen. First of all, before we get into the rest of the show, again, thank you very much for donations. We had some donations going on. We had Bill Sands sent in a donation, the parents of Peter Lenz, which, if you've never heard of Peter Lenz, he's 10 years old, racer in the USGPRU, racing a little Grand Prix bike and just doing spectacular stuff. And I think we're going to be hearing more from Peter Lenz in the next few years coming up. He broke his arm, poor guy, in a race recently, but I think when he recovers from that, we're going to be seeing some action from that. So I encourage you to check out his website. It's Peter Lenz, which is L-E-N-Z, peterlenz.com. I'll put that on the website as well, so a link through to that. Check out there, and thank you very much for your donation to his mom and dad. And we also got one from Emil Borkwin from the Podcast Brothers and Matthew Thorne. So thanks to everybody equally very much for the donations. You guys are helping pay the bills here at MotoGPOD, and now we're not going to have to shut down the show or anything like that. I probably wouldn't shut down the show, but whatever. This keeps things going for, you know, I've probably got enough for now for a couple of months worth of bandwidth and Skype bills and all that kind of good stuff in the thing. And if you would like to donate, there's a link on the website, and I do appreciate it very much. Thank you, folks. We also had an email from listener Adam Kress, and he has also developed a MotoGP calendar that's a good one. It combines World Superbike dates, British Superbike, all kinds of stuff. It's in the iCal format. That's on his website at akress.com. It's akress.com. And again, I will put a link for that on the MotoGPOD.com website. So between that and the Google calendar that Jules Cheesick and the guys over there at Ride On 2 developed, you should have a plenty full supply of calendars for upcoming schedules. That's some good stuff. MotoGP.com, the official website, has a survey going on about opinions of what they can do to improve the site. Unfortunately, it doesn't go in depth enough because there's no question of, you know, do you think Flash sucks like an Electrolux? Which, of course, I would have said yes. But, at least if nothing else, it's some way that we can put our input there. Now, if you have Flash blocked in your web browser, like I do with to try to reduce some of that clutter that comes down from MotoGP.com, I block a lot of those ads, you might not notice the little link to it. So turn off your Flash blocker, go to MotoGP.com and fill out their survey. And speaking of Flash, I found probably the coolest, actually Jules Cheesick found it from Ride On 2, probably the coolest, most non-evil usage of Flash that I have seen so far. And it's this little chat room application. It's really kind of cool, and you can just embed it in a website. It makes things a lot easier than having to set up, you know, IRC channels or different applications or all this kind of business. It's easy. There's no, you know, software to install or what have you. You just go to a website, and here you go. So Jules at Ride On 2 and I at MotoGPOD, we both have a link to this same sort of chat room thing going on. You can find it on the website motogpod.com/chat and rideon2.com/news/chat. One or the other, if you enter in there, your same chat room, and come and take a listen to it. When we're watching the races online, which we won't be there this Sunday, both Jules and I will actually be at Laguna Seca, but for, Bruneau, when Bruneau comes running down, drop into that chat room while the race is actually on, and we're normally there sort of talking to each other and making some comments and things like that, and it's good fun. You never know, drop in there anytime. You just never know. Jules might be in there. There's a bunch of Ride On 2 people that have been showing up. I'll be in there now and then whenever we have time. So, you know, that's kind of fun as a little place to talk, chat live, typing live, chatting, not voice chatting, about MotoGP. That's good stuff. Further other news. What do we got going on? Indy is official. They made the announcement. They showed a track map. There's a cool link at the new Red Bull Indiana. Red Bull Indianapolis GP.com. Website, which they put up. It's going to be called the Indianapolis GP, and they've got a track map of what they're going to be doing to sort of make the track more motorcycle friendly. It doesn't look too bad at all. I think it's promising, and it's kind of cool. So looking forward to that, and it's a big announcement. It's good news for America to have a second U.S. Grand Prix, hopefully a second. We still haven't heard the official word that Laguna Seca is still on the calendar, but I believe they are. It was mentioned that they're going to be staying there, and, you know, till it's done, a done deal when they actually have the calendar set, well, you know, nothing is set in stone, right? But it does look like it's going to be back. And Crash.net, had a little snippets, some quotes and things about the newly announced Indianapolis Grand Prix. And one of them was from Mario Andretti, who is pretty much a superstar of motorsport. Let's not forget Mario Andretti, you know, 1969 Indianapolis 500 winner, 1978 Formula One world champion. And this is back in the day when these guys, you know, they did it all. They did all different sorts of disciplines and everything. And he was one of my heroes when I was a little kid. But he said, to me, Indianapolis has hosted all the major disciplines of motorsports in the world. This completes the cycle. IndyCar is Formula One, NASCAR, and now world champion motorcycles. There is no other single venue in the world that can make that claim. And in my opinion, MotoGP is the most exciting form of motorsport. It's totally awesome for me to see Indianapolis host this very prestigious formula. So thank you very much, Mario Andretti. It is, of course, not the first time that motorcycle racing has been in Indianapolis. The first, very, very first race they ever did at the circuit was a motorcycle race. But in any event, I thought it was pretty cool how Mario Andretti said it's the most exciting form of motorsport. Mario Andretti is obviously a very astute guy and knows what he is talking about. So that was kind of neato. And let's see, other odds and ends of news. The Laguna Seca, Liam Schubert, our man in Spain, our man working on the Premacdan team, Ducati racing team, is got his stuff going on at MotoLiam.com and on his Liam's Wild Ride gigantic, enormous thread that's up on the Bay Area Riders Forum, barf.net. He's talking about a little get-together on Friday at a pizza place in Monterey. He's a little vague on whether it's called Johnny's or Giovanni's or what, and he's continually promising that he will put up the final sort of details on that. Hasn't showed up yet as of Thursday morning, but basically, there's some kind of get-together going on Friday at a pizza place in Monterey. It'll be fun. It'll be good times. We're looking forward to that. I'll be there. Jules will be there. So, and, of course, Liam's going to be there since it's his deal. So that'll be a fun thing. And other than that, if you want to, you know, say hi to me, catch me at the U.S. Grand Prix. I'd really, really like to say hi to you if you happen to hear this show before the before the U.S. Grand Prix, and you know, maybe download it right before you leave or whatever along those lines. Don't have an official meeting site. Jules and I had kicked it around. We're probably going to be outside the Ducati Island at noon on Saturday. I hope to be there, and maybe we'll see if there's a sort of anybody that shows up around there. And then we're also going to, I've got grandstand seats going on, and I'll be in and out of those. I'm not going to be planted my butt down in a grandstand seat all day, but on Saturday I'm in section 11B on row 13 and section 4B on row 6. I have both of those set up for Saturday, and I'll be kind of bouncing back and forth and wandering around, going up the corkscrew. You know, you never know kind of where you'll find me. Then Sunday, section 4B, row 2. These are good seats. I got lucky on the Sunday seats, and I will be watching the race from there. And, you know, pretty much whenever there's like a qualifying session or a race or something, I'll probably be doing it from the grandstands. I'm that kind of guy. I like my comfort. I like to be able to sit and watch in relative comfort. Not that the grandstands are anything super special at Laguna Seca, and it is crowded, but it, I think to me, you know, it's nice. I like to be able to be close to the track and all that stuff. Going up the corkscrew is really, really cool, and you do get close to the track up the corkscrew, and it's an impressive place to watch the motorcycle action from, but all you see is that one little corner, so you're somewhat limited up there. So I will be making trips up there, but that'll be during, you know, qualifying and practice sessions, that sort of thing. Maybe one of the support races I'll be up there, but for the MotoGP stuff, I'll be down there in the main area. So I think we've blathered on enough. Oh, one last thing. Don't forget about this. In case you had not heard, or if you forgot or whatever, don't forget that Steve Jones, a longtime MotoGPOD listener, Steve Jones, is going to be auctioning off for charity, for good charities, this big banner that he's got out the side of this suite at the U.S. Grand Prix. It's the Nikki Hayden Fan Banner Charity Auction, and the benefits will go to the Road Racing World Action Fund, which promotes motorcycle racing safety and installs air fencing and all that kind of stuff at United States racetracks, and the Red Flag Fund, which provides financial support and assistance to road racers throughout the United States who are seriously injured during competition. So these are both worthy charities for our chosen sport. And his auction details can be found at usmotogpfans.com/auction. The auction will be up on eBay most likely by the time you've heard this, and you'll be able to see a picture of the banner and all that kind of stuff. And if you're interested in it, take a bid on it. All right, let's get into the rest of the show. We're going to start off with a Socks and Ring review right now. All right, let's talk a little bit about Socks and Ring. It was an interesting qualifying session, to say the least. Watching the qualifying itself, you sort of didn't feel this great sense of excitement. But when you look at the numbers afterwards, it's amazing because the top 16 riders out of the 19 entries, the top 16 riders are covered by 0.8 of a second. It's the closest grid in MotoGP history. And Casey Stoner took the pole, and only 0.04 of a second behind him was Danny Pedrosa. So he's just barely missed out on that pole. That is a super, super close gap there. You just can't get much closer than that, really. And so it was, like I said, fairly impressive qualifying when you look at those numbers there. Front row was Stoner, Pedrosa, and Melandri. Second row, Depinier, Hopkins, and Rossi. Third row, Caparossi, Barros, and Quintoli, doing an excellent qualifying session there and coming in ninth. Fourth row, we had Nakano, Vermeulen, and West. Fifth row, Edwards, Hayden, and Checa. So Hayden not getting in a very good qualifying, nor Edwards down there on the fifth row. But like I said, these guys are all real close. They're within 0.8 of the pole position time. Sixth row was Hoffman, Fabrizio, and Tomata. And all alone by himself on the seventh row was Curtis Roberts. So very close qualifying session there at a track that is known for close and tight racing. Last year, if you remember, 2006, the top four riders were within 0.4 of each other. It was a very, very close finish. I believe it was the closest finish in MotoGP history for those for that far down, top four finishers. So it was an exciting race last year, and it actually turned out to be an exciting race this year, but in a different way. And Danny Pedrosa managed to lead every lap on the official lap chart. He won out there and started setting a gap. Stoner did challenge him for the lead a couple of times, managed to kind of pass him, but just could not make it stick. And then Stoner apparently started going into a management mode with tires and whatnot and just started falling back a little bit. So we had a good race going there with like Pedrosa, like I said, but and he ran an excellent race. It was very well put, just did it, never really made a mistake much, and just stuck it out there and ended up finishing quite ahead when he won the race. He was way out ahead of Caparossi, who came in second, and the gap there was 13 seconds. So Pedrosa really put it on Caparossi second. Caparossi somewhat being the odd Bridgestone rider out there because he was the only Bridgestone guy to finish in the top, six. And they just, all the Bridgestone riders seem to have some problems with their tires where the Michelin guys seem to have it on this weekend. And that, I think, was largely due to the temperature differences and things like that. Michelin got it really right this weekend. So we had Caparossi second, like I said, 13 seconds behind Pedrosa, followed by Nikki Hayden getting his second podium in the row. He was 16 seconds behind Pedrosa. So the gap between second and third wasn't too bad, but Pedrosa just finished way out ahead. Now, before we go down the rest of these results, the big news for that race was that on lap 5, Valentino Rossi crashed out. And this is just not what Rossi wants to have happen at this stage in the season. He was trying to make a pass on the inside on Depinier and just had a little wobble going on there in the same place that he'd had a wobble on the previous lap. And looks like he kind of lost the front, might have dragged the fairing or some hard parts or something and sort of levered the bike off the ground. And he just went skidding right off the track into the gravel trap. He tried to get the bike back up, but it looked like it had stalled and quit and he couldn't get it started again. The official reason also, they said he had a bent handlebar, whatever. In any event, Valentino Rossi out on lap 5, just a crushing race for him there at the Socks and Ring. We also had crashes by Alex Barros, very unfortunate, and Silvan Quintoli. Nakano had a DNF late in the race, and then another heartbreaker, talking about a DNF, Randy Dupuis on the last lap. He had a DNF, and he'd been riding a pretty good race up till that point. He was in eighth, had been managing to maintain position well into the points there, and just had some kind of mechanical and faded out of the race and DNF'd on the last lap. So the big disappointment for Dupuis. But overall, like I said, a race of somewhat of opposites. We had a fantastic performance from Hayden coming up from a fairly poor qualifying effort of 14th. He managed to finish third. Edwards, same thing, you know, qualified down there on 15th and finished in fourth. And Caparossi also doing his opposite kind of thing going on with a qualifying session there. Where was he out in qualifying? Caparossi was seventh and managed to pick up a second. So it's nice to see Caparossi on the podium. Good to see Hayden pick up his second podium. I don't think he got enough credit from the commentators for that effort, by the way, just because of the whole level of sort of excitement and unusualness going on with the race, with Rossi crashing out and all that sort of thing. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the commentary later in the show because it's just unbelievable, and we'll cover that in a second. But whatever, good race. This report has not done it enough justice. We're doing a rush job here today, so I encourage you to watch it if you have not seen it yet. It's really worth watching. And what this does to the championship point standings, we've still got Stoner out in front. He's got 196 points. Now he's 32 points ahead of Rossi. So Rossi's crash, you know, he lost out, no points at all for the race, but it could have been much, much worse for him had Stoner, you know, won the race or at least finished on the podium. But Stoner's fifth place position here at the Sachsenring only gave him 11 points, so he increased his lead to 32. We've got eight races left in this season, so Rossi, you know, this is not a total disaster, but Stoner has not made a mistake all year of any significance. He's just never placed his foot wrong, so to speak. So Rossi's going to need to really, really be super, super steady and hope for some mistakes from Stoner if he wants to get a championship effort going on. So in the championship, Pedrosa's still down there in third spot. He's pretty much the only guy with this, you know, we're fairly close to those guys. He's on 144 points. He's, what, 52 points behind Stoner. And then we've got John Hopkins in fourth, having a pretty decent season. No spectacular results except for his one podium this year. But other than that, he's being, you know, steady and all that kind of thing. He's got 103. Marco Melandri, fifth spot, 97 points. Christopher Mulin in sixth. Colin Edwards, seventh. Loris Caparossi down there in eighth. Nicky Hayden, ninth, managed to improve his standing in the championship there, jumped up a spot. Alex Barros in 10th, doing great for the Pramac Dantin team. Alex Hoffman, also doing great for the Pramac Dantin team, down in 11th. Tony Elias, whose season is not finished, but he's going to be out for at least a couple of races. Like we said, he may be back for Brno after that broken femur. I think that's a little optimistic, but these guys will ride with all kinds of pain and you know, you could get out there on the motorcycle with a cast on, they would. So we probably will see Tony Elias before too long. Whether it's Brno or not remains to be seen. But 13th position, Randy Dupuis. 14th in the championship, Carlos Checa, followed by Shinya Nakano. Makoto Tomita down in 16th. Ant West in 17th, not really a real indicator there because he's only raced a couple of races here. Sylvain Guattoli down in 18th. Curtis Roberts in 19th. And then we've got the other sort of wild cards going down there. And Kenny Roberts Jr. as the lowest standing in the points that they have, even though he raced more races than Michel Fabrizio Fontanieto or Olivier Jacques, he didn't manage to collect any points. Will we see Kenny Roberts Jr. at Laguna Seca? We don't know yet. It's still up in the air. I'm recording this on Thursday morning, and I have not heard any news. So I kind of don't think so. I think Curtis Roberts will be out there by himself riding for the Team KR effort. But in any event, like I said, good race. You got to check it out. So what have we got in store for Laguna Seca this year? I think it's going to be an interesting race, especially as a follow-up to last year's race where we had such unusual weather. Temperatures, official temperature was 39 degrees centigrade or 102 degrees Fahrenheit. I think it was actually even hotter than that. They had all kinds of problems with their new track surface melting and crumbling and chunking up, and just had a horrible year in 2006, comparatively speaking, for the way the race turned out that way. It was a fantastic race. Good stuff. Nicky Hayden managed to win it last year. Look for Hayden to do well again this year. He said he doesn't feel like he's necessarily the favorite. He said that he thinks he's an underdog for this year, But I still think that he's gonna want to win, of course, and he does have the track knowledge, and he'll do pretty well out there. Also, look for stunning performances by Pedrosa. I think Melandri will do well. He came in third last year, so basically last year you had Hayden, Pedrosa, Melandri, and I think that you're going to see all those guys do well again this year. Vermeulen will probably put in a good performance. I mean, it's going to be a good race. There's all these guys are going to go out there, and they're going to do well. So I'm really looking forward to Laguna Seca. I'm just getting ready here to leave. I'm supposed to be, in fact, throwing my stuff in the truck right now as I record this, but I'm recording it a little bit late. So temperatures this year are projected to be much, much lower, much more in line with the normal weather down there in Monterey, down by the coast. Forecast is for highs in the low 70s Fahrenheit, about 72, which is something, what, like 21, 22 degrees Celsius. So you look for much fairer weather, a little bit cloudy. However, there should be no rain. It never rains in Southern California or Central California, right? But it's going to be a good race. Laguna Seca is going to put on a good show. Now, will we see Laguna Seca coming back next year? Like we said, it's not official. It's not on the calendar yet, but I think it's going to happen. I think that, in the Indianapolis press release, it was mentioned. And so we'll probably have two USGPs in 2008. And that's great news. I mean, you figure in 2004, we had zero US Grand Prix. So in 2008, we're going to have two. So that'll give all the people on the East Coast a chance to go to a race that's a little bit closer to home. And maybe those of us are willing to travel and all that will kind of get out there. I don't know if I'm going to go. That's too far down the road. I sure would like to, so we'll have to see how the funding works out and the time and all that kind of stuff. I've never been to Indianapolis or Indiana for that matter, so it would be kind of a neat session. But they're getting way, way ahead of ourselves. Like I said, again, Laguna Seca, going to be good stuff, and I will tell you all about it when I return from my trip down there, and we're going to have a lot of good stuff coming up in the future shows as we talk about Laguna Seca, and we've got the summer break going on, so I'll have to have some filler for that, so I'll be getting some recordings going on down there. I'm going to be hanging out with Liam, going to be hanging out with Jules, and just having a grand old time. U.S. viewers, do not forget that the race is on Fox. It's on regular broadcast TV, but thank God it's not on CBS. It's going to be on Fox, and the time, I do believe, is 2 o'clock East, or Pacific time, 2 o'clock in the afternoon that they're going to be running that race. Double-check your local listings to make sure that I am not wrong. And, of course, on the East Coast, that would be like 5 p.m., but whatever, it'll be broadcast live on Fox. So if you're setting it up on TiVo, you might want to stick on an extra half hour or whatever there just to make sure that you get the entire race. And, we're going to see how Fox does. I think we're going to have a lot better commentary team because they'll get some of the guys from Speed, and it should be more in line to what we're used to. It'll be a really interesting set of opposites. Might have to do yet another Pepsi challenge. We'll see how it turns out. But once we get, at least the more seasoned race commentators from the Speed channel, and we'll see who's doing that and how that works out. I'd kind of told myself I wasn't going to do another one of these Pepsi challenges. I don't want to keep, whipping the willing horse and making something that was kind of fun just old and tedious. But after the CBS commentary that we saw from the Sachsenring race, I have to bring it up again. It was so bad. Remember, CBS first did the commentary for Catalunya, and they, did a fairly poor effort of it, and I reported about it. And then they came back for Assen, and I said they did a lot better than they did at Catalunya, and I gave them a grade, I think, of a B-. And so then they came back out and did the Sachsenring, which was their third and final race that they covered, and it was the worst of all. It was abysmal. And I'm going to record segments again, or I'm going to play segments again, of the commentary from MotoGP.com, from Eurosport, from CBS, and a special treat from Australia's Channel 10. That was sent in by MotoGPOD listener Paul. Thank you very much, Paul. Do appreciate it down there in Australia. You managed to send us a chunk of the Australian commentary featuring Daryl Beatty and Ken Wooten, and they put on a kind of an interesting show, and I think it's well worth a listen. So it'll be a good study of contrast again, because like I said real quick about the CBS commentary, just terrible, awful, bad. The pre-race show started off okay. They had an excellent onboard narration with Colin Edwards, where we didn't have the ass cam that we got with Hopkins when we saw it from Assen. And we had the rider's eye view. You had the little gear shift marker graphics and all that good stuff from MotoGP. I mean, they picked the right onboard lap, which was Colin himself riding it. And when he narrated through it, it was one of the most interesting onboard lap commentaries I've ever seen, as far as Edwards just being smooth and telling you what he's doing in the corners and stuff like that. It was great stuff. I love those commentaries on those onboards. I think they're great. But after that, it pretty much went downhill. We just had some terrible stuff. And of course, the key section of the race that I'm going to be playing for you is Rossi's crash, because, you know, this was the defining moment of the race. Possibly, if there's one defining moment of the season so far, there's one moment that you're going to pick out of where should we talk about commentary, that would be it. It's just, Rossi crashed out. Oh, my God. So let's listen to the MotoGP team, which is Nick Harris and Gavin Emmett. I have been sent several emails that Matthew Roberts doesn't work for MotoGP.com. And this is true mostly. He does a commentary for BBC. However, he also does the official podium interviews at the end. So that's why I keep hearing him on MotoGP.com. And he has, I know he did one race where he was working with Gavin Emmett. He kind of plays both sides of the fence. Plus the official MotoGP.com podcast that they have. They have the After the Flag video podcast and some other stuff. That's done by Matthew Roberts and Gavin Emmett. So there's a lot of cooperation going on from the official Dorna and the BBC. But I digress. Let's real quick listen to Nick Harris, Gavin Emmett, and Mark Brax as they do the MotoGP.com/Dorna commentary section as we come into this race right where Vermeulen was doing his ride-through penalty, which I failed to mention in my race coverage. Vermeulen had a jump start and had to do a ride-through penalty. So we're coming up on that, and let's listen to it for about a minute.
Here you can see Chris Vermeulen coming in for his ride-through penalty, and Chris Vermeulen will have to go out again, so he's going to drop right down the order. And there you can see Valentino Rossi! Rossi is in the gravel! Well, Valentino Rossi, we said he was desperate to get past Randy Depunier, and he's obviously been too desperate because he's in the gravel.
Four times Valentino Rossi has won at the Saxon Ring. He's not going to make it five. Valentino Rossi's race could be over. He trails Casey Stoner by 21 points in the World Championship. That could be increased greatly here in Germany.
Well, here we get another look at it. He's obviously trying to make the move in the Omega corner up the inside of Randy Depunier, pushing it just a little bit too hard, loses the front end at the second of those right-handers in the Omega corner. Just look at that once more. Here's Valentino Rossi. The front end leaves him, and down he goes, out of seventh position and out of this race. Valentino Rossi, well, his championship challenge was coming under severe threat because of Casey Stoner's form, but now it's a crash from Rossi that's going to cost him dearly.
Okay, we have our usual customary fantastic coverage, well, semi-fantastic coverage from Nick Harris and all that, where, you know, there's a lot of enthusiasm, like I said, a lot of passion, a lot of, you know, it makes the race more enjoyable to watch. Now, let's listen to Eurosport with Toby Moody, Julian Ryder, and Randy Mamola. And as I've said before, this is the gold standard from what I've heard so far, at least in English. Unfortunately, I don't speak any foreign languages well enough to be able to listen to a race commentary in those languages. But out of the English language commentaries that I've heard, these guys are the best. So roughly the same point in the race, just coming in as Vermeulen does his ride through. Now, listen as Toby Moody just goes crazy and rattles on and on and on. And then listen for his little cue to Julian of, here, take over, I've got to breathe. And then at the end, we'll listen to Randy Mamola doing a little bit of his technical sort of color commentary stuff, which was also real interesting.
Doing his drive-through penalty.
Yeah, no stop-go anymore. You've got to come through no more at 60 kilometres an hour. It's 36 miles an hour. Poor old Chris Vermeulen. Oh, Rossi down! I don't believe it! The championship is going to turn on its head here today at the Saxon Ring. Valentino Rossi crashes out of seventh position. Oh, my goodness me. Somebody wrote me an email last night. You know who you are, and you said that he had a feeling that big things were going to happen here today for the championship, and he's struggling to get it started, and maybe he's not going to even have a chance to get back into 15th position and even get a point, Julian. Here we go.
Down the bottom, trying to get past Depunier, trying to get through the gap. And there it goes. There was that Eugene Laverty crash from the 250s. Forcing, he knew he had to force past Depunier in a place you wouldn't normally try and just asked too much.
Yeah, he obviously took away the apex by running so inside. And check out how tight he was on this corner under the inside. The front end just tucking there, guys.
And he got a bit of a rhythm going fore and aft with the bike, and it tumbled. Oh, Randy, that's just so cruel. I mean, he fell at you know, the proverbial 45 miles an hour, and he's
not
out.
Not going anywhere.
He's out.
Now, next up, we have the Australian coverage. Like I said, it's Daryl Beatty and Ken Wooten. A little bit lower key. Nothing quite the same as the excitement level of Nick Harris or of Toby Moody, but still pretty good nonetheless. So go ahead and give this one a listen. Again, coming in at the same point when Vermeulen's doing his ride through. And don't forget, Vermeulen's the hometown boy, so they're quite worried about that.
Rossi not quite matching the times of the leaders. Vermeulen takes his ride through. Day over for him. Rossi's off! I can't believe it! Valentino Rossi has gone down! What is this going to do for the championship? Casey Stoner. Next lap around, we'll be notified that Valentino Rossi is out. Is the bike still running? If it is not, these big four strokes are next to impossible to restart.
Was running when he went down, when he's picked it up, whether he's been able to get the clutch in. We've got it on our screen at the moment, and that's a front end lose. The front's just tucked. We spoke about that pre-telecast. He was trying to get through on DePunio. This is a punishing track on the front end, and it's just tucked down. He's gone. Engine's still running at that stage, but has he been able to get up? Let's have another close look. He was desperate to get past DePunio. He could see the leaders pulling away.
And that's all it takes, Ken, just to lean on that tyre a little bit more on the edge that he hasn't quite used. And they're all using the harder tyre as well. He's out. Unbelievable. Valentino Rossi is out. The young guns lead the charge. Wow. This could be a fantastic points haul for Casey Stoner in the championship. Can you believe it?
I'm in shock, Darryl. Total shock that the doctor has made a mistake. The last time we saw something like that was at Valencia at the end of last year. But I think it proves just how difficult it is to pass on this part of the circuit. Checker has rejoined. So Checker back in. The pit board there showing Rossi out. That will be shown not just by Casey Stoner's pit crew, but I can imagine quite a few others giving signs over. But the doctor...
I thought that one was super interesting. Thanks very much, Paul, for sending that in, taking the time and effort to record that and send me the MP3 of that commentary. It was good stuff. Now let's listen to CBS. This is the United States effort at MotoGP commentary. We had Jeff Metters and Kevin Schwantz again. And like I said at Aston, it seemed like they were sort of working on their dynamic, kind of getting to know each other, knowing when somebody's going to talk and all that. We still had a lot of good technical comments from Kevin Schwantz. He does that well. It's just he delivers it in a sort of a very dry, kind of measured tone, and it's not a lot of excitement going on. And that would be fine if he had somebody to bounce it off of. But you have to listen to this little part here. It's almost bad. I mean, if this was on something like a late night, you know, monologue Jay Leno or David Letterman type funny show or something like that, you could have such a good time with this commentary. So here we go.
Chris Vermeulen there coming back out of the pits.
Vermeulen with a jump start, and there's Valentino Rossi.
Uh-oh. That's big, big drama here for MotoGP. Valentino up, looks to be okay. The question is the bike still running? Because if it's not, they'll never get the thing restarted.
Boy, trying to hang in there with Casey Stoner in the battle for the world championship. Here's what happened to Valley.
Wow, just looks like maybe added a little bit of lean angle to try and get under Randy DePunier there. When he did, the bike moved just a little bit, and then he added some more lean angle. It looks like both ends started to slide simultaneously, which tells me maybe he just drug the side of the bike a little bit. Onboard camera there, you see the bike wiggle a little bit. Absolutely no warning at all, and it's gone, which means it's probably lifted both wheels off the ground as he's drugged the side of the fairing.
The Fiat Yamaha team, and there's Valley walking away. Not what they had hoped today.
And, wow, I mean, can you believe that? So, you know, oh, there's Vermeulen doing his right through. Oh, now we see Valentino Rossi. Yeah, wow. Uh-oh. Yeah, we see Valentino Rossi with the damn motorcycle laying on its side in the gravel, and that's the level of excitement that you guys are showing here? Jeff, come on. Now, trust me, I know how difficult it is to record and sound, you know, you're thinking on your feet, you're having to talk, and believe me, I know that this is not an easy job, but I'm not the guy who's paid to do it, and to have that level of I think in this particular race, it was just so bad, and they could have done so much better. And Schwantz, you could say that Schwantz was trying. He was definitely working on trying to pull things along to a point. But Schwantz just might not be the right guy to choose for this sort of job here, unless you have the right guys for him to play off of and to be sort of guided down the road. So, a big disappointment from CBS. I'm going to give them a grade of an F on this one. And I got to say, I hope that if CBS ends up doing any races next year, I really hope they get a different commentary team, because that was just abysmal. And it didn't show any signs of improvement, you know. And after Aston, I was a little bit disappointed because I thought they were going to do a bit better job. It seemed like there was such a huge difference, Aston compared to Barcelona. But they really dropped the ball on that one. That's going to do it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks very much for downloading it. It was a little bit of a rush job because I'm struggling with getting ready for Laguna Seca and all that. Kind of seemed to have snuck up on me, considering it's such a sort of an exciting trip that I've been planning for months and everything. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, it's Wednesday. I'm leaving tomorrow. Probably better pack. So kind of had that going on, but we put the show up here a little bit early, wanted to get one up before Laguna Seca. We're going to have some good stuff coming up after Laguna Seca, and between now and then, I hope to see you down there at Laguna Seca if you are going. Like I said, didn't really set up any special sort of spectacular, I'm going to be at this point here and that kind of a thing going on. I'll just be a little bit of all over. I do have my grandstand seats, like I mentioned earlier in the intro. I'm not going to be there all the time, but it might be, you know, sort of a good place to sign, start looking for me. On Saturday, I've got seats in section 11B, row 13, seats 90 through 92, and section 4B, row 6, seats 43 through 45. So, you know, I might be around there on Saturday. You never know. Sort of a good place to start. And then on Sunday for the race, and this is where I will be watching the race from, section 4B, row 2, woo-hoo, good seats, seats 26 through 28. And then other than that, I'll be around. And Jules, Chisek and I, Jules is going to be working on the Ducati Island thing going on. So we might have some stuff going on, say, Saturday at noon near the Ducati Island. I'll try to sort of be there, around there. You might be able to find me. And I'm camping down on the archery campgrounds. I'll be doing the thing with Liam, wherever it turns out to be, which is still not up on Liam's sites. But it's it looked like it was Johnny's or Giovanni's or whatever pizza joint in Monterey. I don't know Monterey all that well, so I'm not sure where that is. But I do hope to see you. And if I don't see you, well, you know, we're all together in spirit and all that kind of good stuff, having a good time at the U.S. Grand Prix. So until next week, why don't we close out here? Because Hayden said that he felt a little bit like of an underdog, so we're going to have a special song for Nikki Hayden to round out the show.
In this world, the headlines read of those whose hearts are filled with greed, who rob and steal from those who need, to right this wrong with blinding speed. Goes underdog,
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 underdog.
Speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all who rob or plunder. Underdog, underdog, underdog.
MotoGP is a trademark of Dorna Sports SL. The MotoGPOD podcast and MotoGPOD.com are not affiliated with Dorna Sports SL or the rights holder for Underdog, and all other trademarks, including Underdog, are the property of their respective owners, and MotoGPOD is not affiliated with any of those companies. MotoGPOD is its entirely own entity that occasionally borrows small snippets that are well within the fair use clause of the U.S. copyright law.